You're listening to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. Welcome to CRR Radio. My name is Ed Camo, and we're going to be talking about virtual reality in a fire scene today. And joining me are two gentlemen from Fort Collins. If you could introduce yourself, let's start with you, Ben.
Yeah, my name is Ben Gondres, and I am the dome manager at the Fort Collins Museum of Discovery here in Fort Collins, Colorado. And here I manage our digital dome theater, which you can kind of think of as a cross between a planetarium and a giant screen cinema theater. So we can do things in the round and totally immersive and really, really cool stuff like that. And we're not restricted to just doing astronomy like traditional planetariums are.
Yeah, my name is Michael Durkin. I'm the education specialist for the Poudre Fire Authority. We're out here in Fort Collins, Colorado. We're an all-hazards agency, which means as far as risk reduction goes, my job can be everything from river safety to fall safety to college campus safety and everything in between. I've been doing this for about 3 years now.
Okay, great. And the listeners are probably wondering, you know, how the two of you came together. And trust me, everybody, we'll get to that partway through the podcast. But what I'd like to start with is, Michael, I was out there a few weeks ago, and you had an off-campus college fire that really started this whole ball rolling. Can you tell us a little bit about the fire?
Absolutely. So we received a call that came in about 3:30, pretty early in the morning. And what had happened was there were five college students living in a home, a single-family home converted to a rental. And they were kind of just hanging out on their back porch with their fire pit, and they thought they put it out, and it wasn't actually out. So they woke up to all their smoke alarms going off, and luckily they got themselves out of the building because of those smoke alarms. But it was a close one. They could have been in a lot of danger. The home itself was pretty damaged from it.
So a few details on the fire. You said it was a fire pit that was out on the back deck, and my understanding was the pit was actually resting directly on the deck itself.
Correct. So it was a non-conforming fire pit. So basically, it didn't have any actual little legs on it. I mean, even if it had legs, we wouldn't want it on a wooden deck, obviously. But this one was basically just a metal bowl. You know, it was like a frying pan or a wok sitting directly on the deck.
And you had a propane tank involved as well.
We did. So what had happened was when they thought they put it out and went to bed, and the fire kind of slowly crept along the deck, and once it hit that fire or that propane tank, it heated up and started off-gassing directly towards the house. So that accelerated things really, really rapidly.
So now the fire spread into the house. What was kind of the layout of the house, and where was everybody sleeping in the house at the time?
There were five people in the house when the fire was raging. We had two people who were in bedrooms downstairs in a basement. There's only one set of stairs up and, you know, up and down into those. And then we had two bedrooms on the first floor, right next to each other, kind of on the opposite side of the house, although it's not that huge a house. We had one guy who didn't live there, but he was just spending the night after kind of hanging out, and he was in the little sunroom directly off the porch. So he was right next to where the fire started.
Okay, now everybody did get out of the house, fortunately, but it was a pretty close call, wasn't it?
It was incredibly close. Yeah, they were all out before we even arrived on scene, but it was very close. Two of them, the ones in the basement, ran to the bottom of the stairs and said they looked up and just saw a wall of flames. So they ended up getting themselves out through a little tiny basement window. We had one person upstairs who basically did kind of what we teach in elementary school. You know, he felt the door with the back of his hand and it felt warm, and so he hopped right out of his window. And the other bedroom and the guy in the sunroom, they actually had to fight through some smoke. So they had to crawl through, you know, across the house to escape through the front door.
Now the basement, it did have an escape window, didn't it?
It did. So it had two bedrooms, and one of them had a conforming escape window, which was phenomenal, but they didn't actually use that window. My theory is that they didn't quite realize it was there. They had just moved in about a week ago. So even though someone was in that room and that was their bedroom, I think what happened was they went to the bottom of the stairs, and once they saw flames, they turned and they just went for the very first window that they saw.
Now, one of the things you mentioned too was one of the gentlemen checked the door, back of the door with his hand, and went out the window. So there was a room with a closed door. What kind of shape was that room in after the fire?
That room, and you can see in the virtual reality, is in pristine condition. You know, there's a tiny bit of smoke that kind of got in above the door, and there's some footprints from firefighter boots, but otherwise it looks fantastic. You know, all of his possessions are intact, and nothing's covered in soot or smoke. And it's amazing when you compare it to the other room, which is literally right next door. The doors are a few mere feet apart, and he had his door wide open, and everything in his room is destroyed.
So I guess some really good lessons came out of this. First of all, working smoke alarms, knowing two ways out, and a closed door. All of these kind of played a factor in this fire, didn't they?
Absolutely. This was a huge one from an educational standpoint. I mean, it was very close to being very tragic for the people in it, but educationally, it's a really good fire to learn from.
And that's a perfect segue right over to you, Ben. Let's talk about the virtual reality aspect of this. And we'll have links below the show to the virtual reality that we're going to be talking about, so everybody can get a chance to look at it. But Ben, why don't you start explaining what happened there a little bit?
Yes, I think it was a few days after the fire, Michael called me up and asked me if I was able to come out and help him document this house that had burned near the, in a community actually, pretty close to the museum itself. And so I quickly said yes and grabbed some of my equipment, which included a couple of different camera rigs to shoot specifically in 360-degree format. And we went through the house room by room and shot those rooms with those cameras. And then we're able to put those images together into a virtual reality tour of this house, along with informational hotspots provided by the fire investigators that have different information about the fire itself, as well as other safety tips and things to keep in mind that were demonstrated by this fire in particular.
So how difficult is that to do? I mean, I know that a number of years ago, this was pretty advanced sort of stuff, but it's really come down quite a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. Like you said, just a few years ago, it was extremely time-consuming to do. You had to take a number of images and then usually painstakingly stitch those images together into a full 360-degree image. However, now there's newer cameras that have come out, and so the camera that we use for this one in particular is called the Samsung Gear 360, and it's a brand-new camera that came out earlier this year. And using a phone actually connected to the camera, you can control the camera itself and quickly and easily take a snapshot of that environment that you place that camera in the middle of. Honestly, at this point, and in this particular case as well, the hardest part was actually lighting the scenes. As you can see in the tour, all the windows are boarded up, so we had no natural lighting. And of course, when you're shooting the entire room in 360 degrees, there's not really many places to put lighting, so that was kind of a bit of a challenge.
So does the camera have its own software that stitches all this together, or do you still have to go in and do that sort of work?
It has a couple different modes. You can stitch it. Like I said, you can control the camera from your phone. It connects to the camera over Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and you can actually stitch images that way, but you can get a little bit better of a quality stitch by taking it back to your computer and using specific software to stitch those images together.
And how long do you figure it took you between, you know, how much time did you have to spend on the scene, and how much time did you have to spend afterwards at your office just putting it all together?
Like I said, there were some challenges with shooting the scene itself. As you'll see, a lot of the rooms were pretty chaotic and, you know, had materials all over the place and that kind of thing. So figuring out good camera placement was a big deal, and figuring out that lighting issue. But honestly, on scene was using these newer cameras was pretty minimal compared to what could have been if we were using the older techniques. As far as post-production, there was a little bit of stitching, some editing the photos to make them look a little bit better, kind of correct for some of those lighting challenges that we had on scene. And then actually creating the tour itself, which was just a matter of getting the information from fire experts and then placing those different hotspots where they needed to go. So a bit of time, but definitely I think in the end it was very worth it.
And I'd have to agree with you. I think this thing is just phenomenal. And you can see it on a desktop, which is a great experience. But boy, the real power comes when you take a pair of $10 VR goggles. I can't believe how cheap they are now. Put a smartphone in there and look at it that way, then you are just totally immersed in this whole thing.
We think it's a really good way to drive the message home even stronger than you would have in kind of a traditional, rectangular frame, traditional format. You actually get to feel like you're in the room itself, and you get to look around and explore the different parts kind of at your own pace versus having someone with a traditional camera going to different spots and showing those.
Now, this is the first time I've seen something like this, which isn't to say that somebody else out there isn't doing it. As a matter of fact, I'll bet I'll get a lot of replies, people saying, well, we've been doing it. But Michael, you took this and you really ran with it up at the university, didn't you?
Oh, we did. And I'd kind of had this idea for a while. We knew that the museum over there had a 360 camera because we had kind of worked. We'd tried working with it for a few other events, car extrication demos and things like that. So we were kind of just waiting for a really good textbook fire with these learning lessons. And we've been taking it all over. We had our week of events over at Colorado State University, and it was real popular with the college students. They love it, and it allows them to kind of see something that we in the industry would see, fairly often, but your average citizen never does. And actually, just earlier this week, we took it out to a different health fair with kind of adults ranging, I'll say, from, 30 up to, 65. And they also really, really loved it. So it's working really well with different age groups and different demographics all across the community.
And I remember you mentioning to me how surprised you were with the college students, and you had quite a few of them using the goggles. It wasn't really something they had been exposed to before, had they?
No, not at all. And I kind of thought, I thought for adults, maybe this will be kind of new and clever. And for college students, it'll probably be old hat. But no, everyone I had spoken to said, oh, I've never tried virtual reality before. So this was their kind of first try at it. And they took right to it. What we find is people kind of come up, and if you have one person doing it, then all of a sudden you have a whole crowd that forms around them wondering what's going on. But it's amazing because you could really stand and kind of just explore the whole house for a while. And so it's a little tough to actually manage crowds of people who are all interested in it. But the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to look at it a little longer, look at it a little bit longer.
Do you see any other kind of applications you can be using this technology for besides what you're doing for education?
Well, our investigators were just floored by the idea. They completely loved it. So we're going to be working to incorporate into both investigations of fires, because then, they were saying, oh, we take, dozens and hundreds of pictures per fire, and this would just be a simple way to say, boom, we've captured that whole room. So they're going to look at it for that. We're also working on integrating it into trainings, different kind of trainings, and that's why we wanted to have the investigator of the fire go through and really note and say, this is what I saw in this fire, as far as level of charring and how low did smoke bank and all that kind of stuff. So those sort of notes will help us train our firefighters and our investigators moving forward.
I'm curious, have you been hearing from any other fire departments? Has anybody else given you any sort of feedback on it?
I've heard from a few. Yeah, we've been contacted by the fire marshal's office up in Wyoming. I've had calls from Cincinnati. I mean, if you take it to like Facebook level, we've had comments coming in from all across the country.
Well, like I said, it's the first time I've seen something like this. And again, not to say that it hasn't been done before, but, it's just amazing. Like I said, I went out right after you and I met. I went out to Walmart, bought a $10 pair of VR goggles, which also I can't believe how cheap they are now, and put them on. And it's just a world of difference when you have it on your face like that going through it. Yeah, you truly are immersed in there. It really was just such an incredible experience. And kudos to both you guys for actually pulling this off. I think it's just phenomenal. I think it's a phenomenal tool for education, for training, for community risk reduction. I think it's just great. Do either of you guys have plans for the next step on something like this?
I know, and I'll let Ben correct me if I'm wrong, but I know our investigators have, expressed an interest to him that they'd love to use him and his expertise and the camera at future fires as well. So I think it'll just be a matter of waiting for kind of those other critical incidents where you look at it and you say, oh, this is the perfect one to learn from.
Yeah, I agree completely, Michael. And I think the museum is definitely very interested in helping out with this. And obviously, we feel like between the museum and the Poudre Fire Authority, it's a really good community partnership that we're forming here. Yeah, I think, like you said, if there's another fire that has some illustration that can happen and is visually engaging in this way, I think we would definitely be all about doing another type of experience like this.
Well, really appreciate both of you taking the time. We've been talking with Ben Gondres from the Fort Collins Museum of Discovery and Michael Durkin from Poudre Fire Authority about the VR tour that they built of an off-campus student house fire that happened in August. Thanks for taking the time joining us today, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
To learn more about community risk reduction and the Vision 2020 project, be sure to visit us at www.strategicfire.org. And thanks for listening.